If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The title of the message is, Be My Witnesses. Did anybody notice any directional signs on your way into church? I hope that you did. And if some of you are confused of which way is east, west, north, or south, this may not be totally correct. I didn't come in with a compass, but we're going to use that here in just a little bit. So just be aware that there's going to be some audience participation here today towards the end of the message. So if you don't want to participate, that's fine. But I want you to know that you're a witness and how important your witness is. We've been involved in a three-part series on the reason for First Wesleyan Church. We desire to sense God's presence. And so I trust that as you came in today and as you're here, you're sensing God's presence. I hope and I trust and believe and I hope that you as you drove that you prayed for that. You said, God, I want to sense your presence today. We desire to be a church of prayer. And I trust that you have prayed this week, and I encourage you to continue to pray. And I trust that each and every time that we come, we know that God is here. And I want you to know this. We desire to be a church of prayer. And several left prayer requests last week, and I'm assuming several of you left prayer requests this week, because there's typically not a Sunday that goes by that we don't have something to pray for on our pastor's prayer sheet. And so thank you for doing that. We're going to continue to pray for one another, for the salvation of many, and the movement of God's Spirit. I want to say a couple more things about prayer as I thought about the words that I said last week about prayer. I want you just to know this. If you think that I have prayer all figured out, I'm just letting you know I don't. So if I stood up in front of you and you're like, wow, he's just a prayer warrior. He spends 2 hours in prayer every day and he never wants to leave from the presence of God. If you heard me say that, I confess to you, I don't have prayer all figured out. I wish that there were more times that I had that I just didn't ever want to leave from that. And so if you heard me say, wow, he just every morning he wakes up and he just doesn't want to do anything else because he wants to spend time in prayer. I fail at that. And so I want you to know that. I am going to continue to develop in that area, and I encourage you to develop in that area as well. If you are still pondering, if you're here last week, and I issued you a challenge of praying for 5 minutes every day, and maybe some of you have said, man, I need to do that. And if you're still wrestling through that, or if you completely forgot about that, and you're like, oh yeah, you said that last week, then I encourage you, for the rest of your life, find some way for you to spend 5 minutes alone with God in prayer, and I believe that it will help you immensely. Some of you are saying, well, I'm not sure how to pray. Then I commend to you Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Here's what it says. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And so if you're one that's like, boy, I'm not sure what to pray about, I'm not sure how to do this, go to Romans 8, verse 26 and verse 27 and say, God, just show me how to pray. Teach me how to pray. That's what the disciples did. They went to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he gave them the Lord's Prayer. Only by God's Spirit are we able to pray. And I want to be a man of prayer. And I want you to be men and women, boys and girls, however you consider yourself. I want you to be those individuals that pray. And so may you be a prayer warrior. Today I want to talk about you being a witness. Everyone in this room is a witness of something. Every one of us, we witness. There's two aspects to witnessing, and I'm going to share that with you in just a moment, but I want to read the scripture from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. There's going to be some other scriptures we use as well, but this is where we're going to start. And here's what it says, and I shared this with you a couple weeks ago, but here's what it says. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, let me say this. In the ESV, it says, "You will be my witnesses." If you happen to have a King James Version or a New King James Version, there's an interesting twist that the scholars thought it was best how it could be translated. And it says this, "And you will witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That's an interesting twist, and I like that because sometimes we think, I'm witnessing for myself. I am the witness. And what I see that saying is that when we share, we're actually sharing for the Lord. We're sharing to the Lord. We're not actually sharing to our neighbor. We're actually sharing to the Lord, and they just actually happen to get a part of that. And so I want to encourage you in that. Don't just think that you've got to put on a show to your neighbor or to me or to somebody else. What you're doing is you're actually being a witness to the Lord in all of these different places. So wherever you go, you're a witness to the Lord and all these other people, but they just get to see what you do because you're a witness to the Lord first and foremost. There are two aspects of being a witness. First, when you're a witness, you have to see it. You have to experience it. You have to have an understanding of it in order to be a witness of it. So you have to see it. That's the one side of the witness is I witnessed that. I saw that. Now, sometimes you don't necessarily have to see something in order to witness it. Sometimes it's an experience. Or I heard a chat from a guy this last week who shared on David Lloyd Jones. If you know David Lloyd Jones, he died many years previous. So he read about David Lloyd Jones and then was able to talk about Mr. Jones, but he had never met him. And so some of you are like, well, I can't witness because I've never met that person, so I can't ever say that I know. But you can know about somebody even though you haven't met them personally. We want the power of the Holy Spirit. The second aspect of being a witness, though, is the communicator about something or what happens. Without the first witness, without seeing it, you can't be the witness about the event. If you've never seen something, oh boy, I like Niagara Falls. Boy, wow, was that impressive. I've never been to Niagara Falls. I mean, I've seen pictures, but some of you, maybe. Has anybody ever been on that little boat ride up by Niagara Falls where you get wet? Anybody ever been on that boat ride? That's pretty impressive, I understand. I don't know about that, but if I sat and chatted with some of you, you'd be like, let me tell you how impressive it is. You could tell us a number of things. As we look at being a witness, have you witnessed in your own life the power of the Holy Spirit? And have you shared about that witness? I've been privileged to sit in a number of gymnasiums in recent days because my daughter Millie was playing middle school basketball, and she got to go to a tournament a couple of different times. And by the way, tournaments last several hours, and there are benches in the... I think it would be really cool, some of you are younger in the room, invent a gymnasium with recliner seats instead of the benches that they have. I mean, wouldn't that be nice? I know they make stadium chairs, but wouldn't it just be nice to have recliner chairs? And I know that, you know, if you really want that, then you have to go to a nice stadium and pay a lot of money, but it should be nice if you just invented like a recliner or something. Anyway, I've been able to sit in a gymnasium. I just want to share with you one of those opportunities that I had. And if you're not a sports fan, I'm sorry about that, so just bear with me, but there's a point to where I'm going. And so if you're a sports fan, then enjoy this little story. So we were able to go to a place called Lyman County. Lyman County is in Presho, South Dakota, big metropolis of. Anybody know where Presho is at? It's at mile marker 225 along Interstate 90. There's not really much in Presho, South Dakota, but there's a gymnasium there. The gymnasium is kind of interesting, and there's like the out-of-bounds line, and there's a bar like right there, not very far, and I'm glad that none of our guys got hurt. Anybody ever been to the Presho gym, the Lyman County gym? Okay. Oh, you've been there? Oh, imagine that. Oh, because it was one of your games. Well, not your game exactly. So I'm at a varsity boys basketball game. And the boys are playing, and they're playing tough, and the Lyman County guys have more points than us most of the game. We get up by one or two, but then Lyman County comes storming back, and they go up, and they just keep a lead most of the game. And it was interesting. I'm sitting behind the bench, and I'm watching the coach, listening to the coach, and there's one kid, and he's been sitting at the end of the bench the whole game. He played in the JV game, but he hadn't played any in the varsity game, and somewhere about 2 minutes left to go in the game, he still had his warm-up on. All the other guys had played, and they had their warm-ups off. A warm-up is something you wear over your jersey to keep warm, I guess. And so he's sitting there, and I see the coach say something to him, and I don't know what he said exactly, but the kid takes off his warm-up. I don't know if he said, you're going to get in the game, or you might very well get in the game. But the kid is right there, and with 38 seconds left to go in the game, I think that was the time. Here the coach calls this kid who's been sitting on the end of the bench to come into the game. I'm thinking, wow, you got to be ready to go. It's not really a part of the message, but I'll give it right now. You got to be ready to go when God calls you into the game, and you never know. Some of you might have been waiting for a number of years saying, I'm ready to do something, Lord. And he hasn't tapped you yet, or you haven't responded yet, or you haven't been in that place yet. And you just got to be ready to go. You never know. He came in, and he played, I think, 27 seconds is what he played. Because with 9 seconds left to go, we're down by 2 points. We get the ball. And so the Rapid City Christian team, that's the team I'm rooting for. We get the ball, and he pulls this kid out of the game. And then he pulls somebody else off of the bench named Noah. And so Noah had played a little bit in the game before, but he hadn't played a whole lot. And so they call a play, they drop a play and whatever. And so with about 3 seconds left to go in the game, Noah happens to get the ball, who had just come off the bench. He shoots the ball from the top of the key, and it goes in the hoop. So with 1 second left to go, Rapid City Christian is ahead by 1 point. You really can't do much in 1 second, and so Lyman County didn't win. And we ended up winning. What a great event. What a neat thing for us to experience. Was that fun? Did you like that? Bennett got a little excited because he was at the game, and those are some of his friends. Some of you watched on a little grander scale, a guy by the name of Stephon Diggs make a catch of some kind this last week at a Minnesota Vikings game. You were not at the Lyman County game whatsoever, many of you. Bennett and I were the only two, I think, that were in the room that were at that game. And you say, I did not witness that. Now, you couldn't give me who Noah was, and you don't know who Peyton was who came off the bench, but you witnessed some of that. See, the reason why I'm sharing that is I'm witnessing to you about what took place. And so you understand that. Here's what happens. Many people that you interact with have no idea what's happening here on a Sunday morning. They don't understand that. Some people are so far removed from church that they don't even understand. Why would you do that? Some people know where you work, where you live, whatever you do. They know that you attend First Wesleyan Church. Oh, they know that kind of, and maybe you've even said, well, it's along Elkville Road. And you have this awesome opportunity, I have this awesome opportunity to witness about the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what 1 John 1:3 says. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There's something that happens when we witness something and we try to communicate it with others. When we have alone time with God and God just really comes in, and maybe you don't feel so secure in some of those moments. When God really moves in your heart and life, you just kind of have to share it at times. But some of us have some friends and neighbors that how do you share that exactly? When we gather in corporate worship, there's something that happens that God speaks to our spirit, that God comes into our spirit, and we have to witness about that. I encourage you, and I believe you have, continue to put yourself in places to witness God's work. These individuals that were receiving this, Jesus was saying, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. They were witnesses of what God had already done. The Gospels hadn't been written yet. You and I have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because of what Jesus did, and they witnessed about that. They saw it, and then they wrote about it. They were able to give us some understanding. I put myself in a position to watch the Lyman County game and to witness this event. We need to put ourselves in positions to witness about God and the power of His Holy Spirit. Luke 24, 48 says it this way. You are witnesses of these things. What would be something, I want you to just think about this, what would be something spiritual that you have witnessed recently that has encouraged, convicted, challenged, or brought joy to you? Thanks for putting yourself in a place where you can say yes to God and yes to the witness of His Spirit in your life. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you is when you will be a witness. That's when God's Spirit comes through you, and we need His power. We need His power when we're witnessing. We need His power when we have been witnessed upon. I need a couple of you here this morning. If you want to be a volunteer, come here. If you don't want to be a volunteer, then don't come here. I need four of you. Weston and Jason. Fred. Jim's going to be a volunteer. Here. You get a microphone too. Let's move this out of the way too. How's that sound? So then we can really see you. Have any of you before ever felt on the spot? Yes? Have any of you four ever had to be on a witness stand in a courtroom? Tell me about that, Jim, in some simple words. Use a microphone. What was it like to be a witness on a witness stand?
It's difficult. The opportunity that I had when I was called, it was something that had happened 2 years prior to it going to court. And you know, they would ask you a question, and I said, to the best of my knowledge, that's how I remember it, you know, and then they would ask other questions. Well, you said at this point, well, I believe so, and to the best of my knowledge, to me, that was the same thing, and they were nitpicking everything, so it was very uncomfortable because it wasn't fresh in my mind because it was 2 years prior to being called to court.
Fred.
I've been witness on court lots of time as a cop. And it kind of became routine for me. And I've messed up on occasion.
You ever been a witness, Weston?
No.
Do you ever want to be a witness?
Probably not.
Probably not. Jason, have you ever been a witness?
I got out of jury duty 3 times, and I was moving across the state, and I couldn't make it. There was no way. But I got a feeling it's going to happen again.
How many of you have had to sit in a witness chair before? It's like this. I mean, you're not up here, and they are, and I don't want us to be in a place where we're nervous, but I love what Jim had to say. It happened like 2 years ago, and I'm not sure what exactly, and I'm trying, and oh man, trying to, and that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives every single day, every single moment, so that we don't have to sit there, what's God doing in your life? Well, let's see. 2 years ago, I went to this church, and God spoke to me. What was it that he spoke to me? He spoke to me something. That's why it needs to be fresh. But here's another thing that I think happens in our lives is we feel like we're in the spotlight of the witness stand. I think if we had a good prosecutor here today, you could make this young man cry. I don't want to do that, not by any means. And that's not what Jesus is asking us, but he is saying this. When you have that opportunity to be a witness, you're going to receive great power. Quite honestly, you may like this, you may not like this, but you stand out like this. You are a witness every day to the people that you come in contact with. And it's like, here you are, Weston, guess what? I don't know if you know Jason, but Jason is a teacher at a public school. Douglas High School is where he teaches. Do you think his faith is, maybe challenged at times? Yeah, he's a witness, though, of what God can do. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. Thank you for being in front and center. Or you can go sit in your regular chair. Just leave these chairs up here. That's fine. Pray for God's Spirit. Here's what it says. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Where is your Jerusalem? Jerusalem was the town. It's basically your neighborhood. It's basically where you live, basically where right around you. Where is your Jerusalem? Judea was a little bigger. It was a geographical space. And so where is your Judea? That could be termed maybe Rapid City or South Dakota. Samaria. Where is your Samaria? One commentator says this way. Now they are given another commission, go out. And Samaria, as you know, was a little different. You're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go to Samaria. Oh, man, that's not a good place. And then you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. We sang that to the ends of the earth. And some of us don't say that very truthfully because, no, I'm fine in Rapid City. Don't ask me to go somewhere else. No, no. And yet God calls and he moves. And we've got to be willing to say yes to the ends of the earth. And what excitement that God will give to us when we go to the ends of the earth. If you look into Acts, you see that this commandment is shown in Acts. They first go to Jerusalem, and then they go to Judea and Samaria, and then they go last part of Acts to the ends of the earth of what they know. In Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." In Acts chapter 4, verse 20, it says this, "As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We need to have from our church an outreach into the community." And that's what we're going to continue to do. I contend that each of us have an outreach, even if we don't know it. Let me give you an example. I have several neighbors that I know. All right, some of those, many of those I know by first name basis, but let me share with you a couple of my neighbors. I have a neighbor that the lady of the house, she's a younger gal, she's not old, she's the one that mows the lawn. He's the one that does the cooking, and so I rarely see him out mowing the lawn. Now, in our house, it's a little different. Manel's never mowed the lawn, have you? I don't think so. And that's just not the plan for our, it's not bad, it's just, I noticed that. I have another neighbor that smokes a pipe. And so I smell that every so often when he's around. I have another neighbor who, he collects a lot of stuff, and he has a lot of stuff that he collects. I have another neighbor that he occasionally goes on runs, and just saw him yesterday. He doesn't go every day that I know of, but he just runs, and he usually has some kind of a listening device that he's holding on to and listening when he runs. Another neighbor has a sign on their door that says, "We found Jesus, and we're not going to give any money," and basically it says, "Go away," is what it says. And I'm like, okay, I won't. Sorry. Hi. Another neighbor has a diesel engine. If you have a neighbor that has a diesel engine, you know that. You know how you know that? I'll give it to you. That's what it sounds like. And he also has four-wheeler toys that go as well. These things speak to me. So my question is, what outreach do I have to my neighbors? What do they see me as? We have several kids in our house, and sometimes other kids come to our yard, and sometimes people have said, oh, yeah, you're the house with a lot of kids, because sometimes we have, like, more than four kids out in the lawn. What is the witness that we see? What is the witness that others see within us? Would you be a prime witness for God? We're going to have some outreach opportunities as a church. We go to the Cornerstone. In about a month, we're going to have a missions conference going to the ends of the earth, and we give money to that. Sometimes we go to White Clay. We've helped out at Cedar Canyon Camp. We do baby bottles. There are certain different outreaches. We're here in a new community of Rapid City, and we just want to have an outreach. Here's another question that I have for you. Who do you want to witness to this year? Do you have somebody on your list and you're saying, man, 2018, I really need to talk to this person about the Lord? Make it a goal to share with someone about your faith. Let God's Spirit work in you, and don't be shy about this. If you've ever sat in a witness chair, I never have, but if you've ever sat there, man, it can get awful sweaty real quick. Because you're like, I think, and then you start getting nervous about that. Don't be nervous about that, because God's power will be with you. Now, here's the audience participation. Again, if you don't want to help out with this, that's fine, but I'd like for your help in this, because I want you to just see something from our congregation. Because what I think happens is we come to church, we gather and worship Lord, and then we go out from here. And so what I've done is I have a north over here, I have east over here, I have a west over here, I have Rapid Valley over there, I have a south over here, and I have this one, I couldn't hang this from the ceiling, it says central. And so in just a couple of moments, what I'd like for you to do, if you're willing to do this, is you're just going to get up from your chair, and I'll tell you when to go, and what you're going to do is you're going to go to the area of Rapid City that you live. If you live in the north part, then you're going to go there. Now, I know there are some of you that don't live in town. And so if you live like way out east, then you got to be all the way over there to the east. If you live way out west, which some of you do, and I know stairs are a difficulty, you can just stand right down here. It's okay. If you live in the central part of the city, I want you to be here. If you live in the north part of the city, if you live way out north, then be over there. If you live kind of north, right over here. And if you live south, then you live over here. And if you live in the valley, you're going to go to the own little place called Rapid Valley. I just think it would be kind of interesting for us. Where do we live? And what do we do? So would you be willing to do this with me here this morning? This is a little audience participation. Where do you live? If you live way out, and you can even stand inside the chairs. If you need to move chairs, that's why we have movable chairs. Go somewhere where you kind of live, all right? It doesn't have to be exact. I'm not going to get you in trouble here. West, north, south, east, or the central part of the state, central part of the city. Where do you live? Yes, you live in the central. That's great. Good job. Thank you, Steve. Oh. Okay. All right. Is everybody where you live? All right. This is just kind of interesting because here we have people kind of everywhere. Now, you all live here. This is where you neighbor. This is where you do your stuff. Now, if you leave from your house and you go somewhere totally different for like work or whatever, yes?
Why is Paula way over there?
Why is Paula all the way over there? I would put you in the south.
I live along Fifth Street.
Yeah, I'd put you in the south. Oh. I'd go with your wife. Well, you're further east than him, so you just stay where you're at. Because your wife's here, too. All right, now, you're going to have to move again here, Cliff, in just a moment. But if you go somewhere, if you stay at your house and you're retired and you just stay there, then you just stay where you're at. But if you go somewhere during the day to work and it's a different place, or you inhabit some other place, then go there now. If you go like to the east side to work, or you go west, or you go north, go there now. If you go to school somewhere different, if you go to McDonald's, come with Mr. Glenn. Okay? So I hope you see what's happening. So we go from one place to another place to another place, and when we go to those places, we're God's witnesses. All right, now you need to go back home. Go back home. Because that's where go back home. Go back to your house. No, not your chair. Not your chair. Don't go to your chair yet. Just go back to where you live. Yes, don't go back to your chair yet. Go back to where you live. Stay up here, Mr. Glenn. Stay up here. Go back home. Yeah. Go back to where you live. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I want to, maybe there's somebody that you're standing nearby that you're like, boy, I don't know that person. They live in your neighborhood, or they live in, you really don't live in the same neighborhood per se, but you kind of live somewhere in the same vicinity of, and so maybe you should get to know them. But here's what I want you to do. We need to have an outreach into this community, and so you are the outreach. And so here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray over different areas of our city. And I want you to think about this also. We're not the only ones that have the Christian outreach in the whole community. Praise God for that, isn't it? And so there are other churches that are gathering together today having corporate worship, and then they're going to go out as well. And they live in our neighborhoods, and so you can pray for them as well. But I'm going to pray for each of the areas that you would have an outreach into your community. So let's just pray today. Thank you, God, for our city called Rapid City. I know there are some that live north or east or south or west of Rapid City that don't even live inside the city limits. However, your spirit is with them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help each person that's standing here to know that they can have an outreach into their community. And I pray that we would be witnesses of yours in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. We pray for the north part of our city. You know all that goes on up around that area. And I just pray for your spirit to be there. I pray for the eastern part of our city. You know all the people from our church that are there, and they have an outreach, and you know the people who they live next to, and I pray that they would be a witness and they receive power of your spirit. I pray for the central part of our city. Many things happen in the central part, and there's a lot that gets in our paper about the central part and downtown and those areas. And so, Lord, I just pray for those that have the outreach there. I pray over these individuals who live on the west side of town and live maybe even further west than west and on in Nemo and those places. I just pray, God, that your spirit would rest in and through them. Lord Jesus, I pray for those who are in the south, and thank you for the outreach in the communities and the neighbors that are right represented there. Help them to be an outreach. And then I pray for those that live in Rapid Valley, such a significant part of our city. And I ask God that as they live there, that they would be great witnesses of the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, there's other pockets that people are residing in. I just ask that as we go from this place today, we can, one, say we've witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit, and then, two, we can say, here is the witness of what Christ has done. And so, Lord, may we have an outreach in our community. May every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that's standing or being seated today know that wherever they're at, they're a prime witness for you. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you that the power of your Holy Spirit can live within us. As we tootle across the city and we go to a different place, different arena, may your spirit go with us and may we be your witnesses. I pray for everyone here today that they would have a great witness for you this week. We love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.